Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record program number 672, Interview with Daniel Hopsicker, talking about mothers on Mother's Day. It is my pleasure once again to bring back to our airwaves Daniel Hopsicker, the author of Barry and the Boys and the newly released second edition of Welcome to Terrorland and the maven of the madcowprod.com website. Daniel, welcome back once again to our airwaves.
Well, it feels like welcome back a third time, Dave.
Well, we had some recording problems with Side 2 as we're doing this on May 10th of 2009, but we're back. Now, we were talking about some of the mothers that you've been investigating down there in Florida. We were talking about Wally Hilliard's family values. Recently, there's been a lot of focus, of course, on the largest Ponzi scheme ever uncovered, which was fronted for, I would say, by Bernard Madoff, who was just the lone nut who took the fall for a lot of powerful interests. In investigating some of these grains of sand that have dropped through the hourglass, the waste of the hourglass of September 11th, as extending our metaphor from the first side, you came across a guy named Arthur Nadell. Tell us about him, what he used to do for a living, and how you came across him and how he relates to the whole aviation milieu down there in Florida.
Well, first of all, he purchased Huffman Aviation 3 years ago. So he owns the major business at the Venice, Florida airport, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in the news in January and February. He was on the lam for several weeks, and then he was busted and accused of running half a dozen hedge funds in Sarasota, Florida, as a Ponzi scheme and stealing $360 million, is the figure being bandied about now. And it barely made the news. I mean, it made the news big time, like down in Florida, because it was people in Florida that were hurt by it. But in the scale of Madoff's crimes, I guess that's $60 billion, $300 million doesn't sound... And there are $300 million crimes you don't hear about unless you investigate, like I do. Adnan Khashoggi was involved in something called Stockgate in Minnesota, where they busted out a company... They busted out a company and they stole $300 million. And yet, I'd have never known that, because it wasn't national news. Wally Hilliard had a business associate, at the same time Otto was with him. He was running a little airline with a guy out in, Washington State, who had just participated, I learned to my horror, in the $300 million bust out of mob connected pension funds in Portland, Oregon, and I'd never heard of that. So $300 million robberies are not all that uncommon, but you don't hear about them unless it's in a bank or something, which just strikes me as just bizarre that these are major crimes. I mean, these should be leading the news night after night after night. So Art Nadell is alleged to have stolen $360 million in a Ponzi scheme, and Art Nadell owns Huffman Aviation. So two of the past three owners of Huffman Aviation have been engaged or alleged to have been engaged in criminal activity traditionally associated with the mafia. Wally Hilliard had a plane that got busted with 43 pounds of heroin and international heroin trafficking, and the mafia go together like cookies and milk. Art Nadell is accused of a Ponzi scheme, and the Ponzi schemes are the mafia's traditional specialty. So one wonders if one needs a medallion from one of the five families in New York in order to purchase the business, the major business at the Venice, Florida airport. What is up with that?
Well, one of the things that is interesting...
Well, after that came out, by the way, a local, they call him a gadfly, he's really a courageous guy down there, runs a website exposing what goes on in Venice, in the Venice city government. He went in front of the city government waving my book and saying Daniel Hopsicker was right. We've got mobsters at the airport here, and you and I couldn't get a concession at the Venice, Florida airport, but people associated with organized crime can, and that's a pretty bizarre set of circumstances, especially at an airport that had Iran-Contra connections. A guy that worked for Oliver North, who was out of there for years, a guy named Joe Duncan. So there, we've got this guy, Art Nadel, and it looks to me as if the CIA has to be overseeing what goes on in Florida. One hopes they are. Right, Dave?
Yeah, you know, or a parallel network. I don't want to dwell on this in this broadcast, but you know, there was something called the Safari Club, which was sort of like an outsourced, privatized intelligence network involving elements of what we tend to think of as CIA. But the whole thing was financed by Saudi Arabia, and because
right,
it was privatized,
right. It's a kind of a privatization of U.S. intelligence, isn't it? Because I come across the same Adnan Khashoggi.
Yeah. Oh, part of it.
Almost everything I do.
Well, what's so interesting about these privatized intelligence networks is that whereas even the cursory investigation, such as the Church Committee, into wrongdoing by these government agencies can't take place because these are private networks. A lot of people know about Blackwater. Blackwater has been taking over several major accounts of what were the CIA. Now, is it that the Blackwater is CIA or the other way around? But these are private networks, but with all of the power and with all of the imprimatur of these federal agencies, and yet, because they're private, not even the most cursory official investigations can take place.
Well, there's one other curious fact about this Art Nadel thing. As you know, I've been tracking closely a couple of planes from St. Petersburg, Florida, that got American planes, registered planes, that got busted in Mexico, one with 5.5 tons of cocaine and one with almost 4 tons of cocaine, whose owners have suffered no official or law enforcement opprobrium as the result of what happened to their planes. And it turns out that a man who sued Art Nadel, alleging he had invested $6 million with him and lost it, was the one of only four beneficiaries of a very spooky kind of investment bank. He got funding from an investment bank in Texas. And his name is Frank Polino, and he used to be known as the Garbage King of New Jersey. And he's also, through his lawyer, offering to sue me in federal court in Philadelphia. So it's probably best I not go too far. But I mean,
let's use the term just to cover our tales and also the tales of the stations that air this program. Let's use the term alleged. And just for the record, so to speak, which is what I call my program, I've never heard of Frank Polino. Although when you mentioned some of the activities in which he had been involved, I had heard of that ship that went around the world with a whole load of toxic waste, and no one would let it back.
That garbage barge, yes, and he has been involved in a series of activities that a man nicknamed the Garbage King of New Jersey might be assumed to have been involved in. He sold his company for $500 million to Wayne Huizenga, owner of the Miami Dolphins. And what you discover about Wayne Huizenga is you can't write about him here, but when Wayne Huizenga's Miami Dolphins played an exhibition game in London a few years ago, the London tabloids had a field day with them. There were headlines, is there a mobster sitting next to you at the game today? Mobbed up, I'm looking for one of the headlines now. I mean, it was hilarious. Is mafia boss sitting next to you on the bus? Then another headline was, former Garbage King Wayne can't shake stench of dead fish.
By the way, he was also, speaking of fish, he was also the former owner of the Florida Marlins Major League Baseball team, too.
Sure, sure. So we have two very curious circumstances here. How is it possible? And basically, we're talking about 9/11, okay? I'm talking about 9/11. The man that owned the flight school that Muhammad Atta came to was involved in the traditional organized crime activity of international heroin trafficking, without a doubt. The owner, the guy that bought Huffman Aviation from the guy he sold it to, several years later, is accused in a Ponzi scheme, which is traditional mob activity. He's in business, one way or another, associated with the man who is suing him, named Frank Polino, who's a figure that I became aware of in the 5.5-ton cocaine story, because the investment bank that gave him money, one of only a few people, one of the other people they gave money to was a man who owns railroads in Mexico, who has been alleged by prosecutors in Chile of being associated with the Cali cartel. And this investment bank that gave Mr. Paulino money, who is involved with Art Nadel, who owns what used to be Huffman Aviation, also was the major investor in the plane that owned 5.5 tons of cocaine, and the company that owned the plane, Skyway Aircraft, along with, just you know, you talk about the Safari Club, that's, you look at the investors in Skyway Aircraft. The company was put together by a Jewish attorney in Miami, who is the U.S. president of a Israeli settler party, you know, far right wing Israeli ultra-nationalist Israeli settler party, and he brought in investors from Kuwait and Gulf Sheikhs, the brother of the king of Kuwait, who was the head of the National Guard in Kuwait, invested in the company whose plane was caught with 5.5 tons of cocaine.
Very quickly, Daniel, for listeners who'd like to find out more about the Safari Club, it's written about extensively in a book by Joe Trento called Prelude to Terror. I also discussed it in For the Record programs 522 and 524. And, you know, we were talking, Daniel, about this private network, which it is, funded by the Saudis, but one of the people who was instrumental in forming the network and who brought the U.S. into it was none other than George Herbert Walker Bush, who is for whom CIA headquarters is named, and of course, it was the 41st president of the United States. So, you know, the demarcation between private and public gets rather interesting there. But Art Nadel, now this guy has been dubbed Mini M by the press down there because he ran a Ponzi scheme. You mentioned in Side 1 that Wally Hilliard was able to purchase a fleet of 40 jets after retiring as an insurance executive in the Midwest. Art Nadel, who suddenly was able to run a $360 million Ponzi scheme, also had some, you know, a way of earning his living that you wouldn't expect would lead to being a multi-million dollar operator. Tell us about piano player Art.
Well, Art Nadel is a disbarred attorney in New York who was associated with significant mobsters there, individuals who have been named as being associates of organized crime. After being disbarred, he moved to Florida, which is a new start, and he was a piano player in lounges. And then, as near as I can figure out, in the year 1999, along with some squishy associates, developed a black box computer trading program that they sold for $5,000 a piece to day traders that would supposedly manage your trades and tell you what to buy. And of course, it was totally bogus, and the people that bought it, like, basically all lost money. But he did that, and through that became a financial whiz. Meanwhile, the Sarasota Herald Tribune, which is the paper down there, okay, is like, you know, not exactly on his tail. He becomes a socialite, hanging out with Catherine Harris in Sarasota. Okay, he funds local opera type stuff. So the Sarasota Herald Tribune is just a waste of paper, and it's owned by the New York Times. And the sooner they go out of business, the better for all of us, because whatever comes along to replace it cannot be any worse.
Well, we're talking about Art Nadel. He's the fellow who was dubbed Mini M by the Florida press for running some $360 million Ponzi scheme. And he was a cocktail pianist down there in Florida, which is not the sort of livelihood you would expect would lead to multi-million dollar operations.
Right, exactly. But of course, as Wally Hilliard told a business partner of his when they parted, and his business partner later told me, because his business partner was looking at Hilliard and saying, how do you think you're going to stay out of jail? And Hilliard told him, not in Florida, baby doll. No one ever goes to jail in Florida. Okay? So if you're connected, apparently, Dave, our country is far more corrupt than any one of us would really like to think, okay? And that seems to be the long and short of it.
One of the things, again, reiterating something I said on side one, you began, the very first book you wrote was Barry and the Boys, about Barry Seal, an individual whose activities run the gamut from the assassination of President Kennedy. He was associated with David Ferry in New Orleans, right on up through CIA operations, drug trafficking operations, on up through Watergate, right on up through the Iran-Contra scandal, which proved to be his swan song as he was gunned down for blowing the whistle on some of that. And then you followed some of the tributaries from your work on Barry Seal led to some of the aircraft you encountered in connection with your investigations of Huffman Aviation. And you've pursued that through Welcome to Terrorland. And in a series of articles since the publication of the first edition of Welcome to Terrorland, you've come across a whole concatenation of criminal activities of various kinds, not all of them necessarily involving aviation, but most of them involving drug trafficking, and a whole cast of characters running right. from alleged mafiosi, let's use that term, to Latin American kingpins of various kinds, and they are all involved to one extent or another with some of the same networks. The last time we spoke, we were talking about a guy named Alfredo Yebron, who's a name that will sound familiar to veteran listeners. I've talked about Yomagate, about the AMIA bombing, about Manzer Alcazar and his Latin American activities. How does Alfredo Yebron fit into this network of elite deviants and alleged organized crime figures and also national security operatives, drug traffickers, etc., that you've been investigating for these many years?
Oh, my. I mean, I can tell you the full story. Okay, there's a scandal called Suitcase Gate, okay? The major result of that scandal was when you heard on the news a few months back that Russian warships were in the Caribbean going to Venezuela, and Russian planes were flying Caribbean skies, Russian military jets, for the first time in 40 years. It is the result of the Suitcase Gate scandal, in which the departing Bush administration embarrassed Venezuela's Hugo Chavez by prosecuting some Chavez intelligence operatives who had been involved in bribing the vice president of Argentina with $5 million. And they got caught because the money was discovered in a suitcase when they got to Buenos Aires 3 days before Chavez was getting there. I thought, well, how interesting. The plane they had been flying, initial AP reports said, was a Citation 10. It's the fastest civilian jet in the world. It flies far faster than the DEA has, for example, 550 miles an hour. I developed an unintended expertise in aviation crime, and I think it's stood me to good stead because aviation is the chief avenue of international organized crime and also of international spookdom. I mean, aviation spook activity involves inserting elements into and out of a country, you know, be they people, money, drugs, diamonds, weapons, whatever, and the way that is done in today's world is using airplanes. And all of these airplanes come under the rubric of what's called general aviation or commercial aviation. And the first thing you find out, to your shock, is that while you have to take your belt and shoes off before boarding a flight in the U.S. And wait in line to be checked, if you've got your own plane, you can taxi right on up and basically just kind of like circumvent customs altogether in many cases if you have your own plane. And so, in Barry and the Boys, I began to learn about aviation and how planes are used to bring drugs here and other things there. And so when 9/11 happened, I thought, well, here we have a tiny Venice, Florida airport with two flight schools training terrorists, and each of the flight schools had been purchased the year before the terrorists began to arrive by two separate Dutch nationals, and I called that the magic Dutch boy theory, the idea that there was nothing you know, it was like the magic bullet theory, the idea that, that two separate Dutch nationals, two Dutch boys, would separately arrive in Venice, Florida, and purchase two flight schools at a tiny airport, and it has, you know, nothing to do with anything, is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. So the 9/11 attack should begin. The investigation into the 9/11 attack, I believe, should begin right there. You know, what is up there? I mean, just focus on Wally Hilliard and the owner of the other flight school, and one will soon discover whatever was really going on in 9/11. And of course, because Hilliard's Learjet got busted with 43 pounds of heroin, part of what was going on before 9/11 is pretty obvious. Somebody with major stroke in the U.S. government was doing a dirty business with Osama bin Laden and the Taliban. And the typical deal, according to federal prosecutors in New Jersey, is heroin for guns and training. So that was what was going on when the two men who took down the World Trade Center, leading to the deaths of 2,800 individuals in horrible ways. That's the milieu that they were in, and you know, how odd that everyone focused on the World Trade Center, which you know, was the end of it. It's exactly like the Kennedy assassination, where the story of the Kennedy assassination was in New Orleans. And the government is perfectly willing to let you decide, to let you, you know, talk endlessly about trajectories of bullets from now until the end of time, okay? But the proof that there was a conspiracy to kill President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was developed by a guy named Jim Garrison in New Orleans, and it, you know, pretty much nailed down who was involved. So a famous writer by the name of Thomas Pynchon once wrote, "If they can get you to ask the wrong questions, they don't have to worry about the answers."
Yeah, by the way, one of the things that I'd mentioned on my show about the Kennedy assassination is they don't want you to get off the grassy knoll. They want you to be counting bullets and cartridge cases till the cows come home. But yeah, they don't ever want you to begin looking at the corridors of power and the actual executioners. And in your book, Barry and the Boys, in your investigation of CIA drug smuggler Barry Seal, it begins with his work in New Orleans with David Ferry's Civil Air Patrol Unit, another member of whom was Lee Harvey Oswald, and it Barry Seal may very well have been one of the getaway pilots. So that is not at all disconnected with this long concatenation that you've been helping to trace for us.
A man who may well be in charge of CIA aviation in South Florida told me that I should call it the never-ending scandal, because it's like a river. You can dip your toe in anywhere you want, and it's just going to sweep you downstream. It is one thing after another committed by the same people and the same power groupings. And I suppose it's up to somebody with a higher clearance than I to decide, you know, what the whole thing looks like. But I'm down on the ground, and it's just amazing. I mean, if you want to laugh all day, all you got to do is investigate 9/11, because you get to Mike Brassington, who was the co-pilot on Wally Hilliard's heroin Learjet, which undoubtedly has had something to do with Muhammad out of his presence at his flight school. And Mike Brassington was involved in a scandal that led to the resignation of the premier of the Turks and Caicos 2 months ago, who was married to a Hollywood starlet named Lisa Ray. You ever hear of her? I had never heard of her.
No, I don't keep up with pop culture. What I know about pop culture, I learn from waiting online at the supermarket or the drugstore. You know, when you read about the latest dish on
the Turks and Caicos. Well, here's what you need to do. The premier of the Turks and Caicos was flying around on a plane, being flown for him. His personal pilot was Michael Brassington, associated with the 9/11 flight school training terrorists and flying heroin, on a plane that belonged to a special advisor to Bill Clinton during the Clinton administration. Clinton called his man in Florida. And the premier of Turks and Caicos was alleged to have gone from being worth $50,000 when he took office to something like $200 million 4 years later. And after his resignation, the Great Britain, the government of Great Britain, took back the Turks and Caicos. First time, I believe, that they have like taken back sovereignty after devolving it right to in the Commonwealth, because the government of the Turks and Caicos, they allege, the government of the Great Britain alleges, was being run as a continuing criminal enterprise. So how does this fit in with other current scandals? Have we talked about Alan Stanford yet?
In nearby Antigua?
Okay.
We haven't.
Out of Texas with CIA connections and a $6 billion scandal. Obviously, our intelligence services operate in the Caribbean with a freedom to operate, which they don't have here. And basically, that's a lot of what they do.
I don't recall offhand, Daniel, you writing about Alan Stanford. A lot of people I know
I haven't yet because I have a firm belief and conviction that Michael Brassington will somehow tie in to Alan Stanford. There is going to be a connection there. Brassington was flying for an outfit out of Dallas. Skyway Aircraft was flying out of the same town that Sir Alan Stanford was. It's going to turn out that, I mean, they both work for the same organization. Okay, Brassington's a pilot, and Alan Stanford is an operative, and they're both active in the Caribbean. So I'm going to find a connection. I believe there is one. I haven't determined what it is yet. We'll see how much comes out.
It's going to be,
but
yeah.
I mean, the very fact. Okay, one is excused from wild speculation. In this particular case, owing to the very fact that what has happened is so unprecedented and so unexplained. Okay,
mm-hmm.
How is it that all of these Ponzi schemes hit at once at the end of the Bush administration? And how does that compare with the savings and loan scandal, which broke just as Reagan left office? Okay? I mean, all of a sudden, there are $300 to $60 billion schemes breaking out everywhere. What is up with that?
Well, obviously, one hypothesis that suggests itself very strongly is that a lot of these operations were being protected from on high, and that as the bigwigs were no longer in a position to shield some of their underlings and some of the things they were doing, that those elements who were interested in investigating these were no longer put off by the powerful elements protecting them.
Well, and that is, of course, some philosopher one time, I think it was Camus, wrote, "All hope is false." Okay, but human beings live on hope, and the hope currently is that some of the major scandals that have been suppressed viciously, suppressed ruthlessly, suppressed for the 8 years of the Bush administration will now surface under the Obama administration, and it probably won't be because Obama wants to push it, but it might happen anyway.
We're going to have to take this up, though, Daniel, in a future discussion because we're all out of time. Very quickly.
No, I can't believe it, and we were just getting going.
Well, we can always, you know, if you want, we can always do another one next week. You know, I do a show a week here, so
I'm only kidding. It was a pleasure to talk to you, Dave, and I only wish we'd had time to go over more.
Barry and the Boys, Welcome to Terrorland, The New American Drug Lords, and tons of information available at madcowprod.com, Daniel's website. We have been visiting with Daniel Hopsicker, and this concludes Side 2 of For the Record Program number 672, Interview with Daniel Hopsicker, talking about mothers on Mother's Day. This program is being recorded on May 10th of 2009. For Daniel Hopsicker, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.